Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Automotive Axles Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sailesh Raja from Batlivala & Karani Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Neerav. Good afternoon, and thanks to everyone who have logged into Automotive Axles Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. Today we have senior management team of the company. We'll be hearing from Mr. Muthukumar N, President and COO, Meritor HVS India Limited, Mr. Nagaraja, President and Whole Time Director, Automotive Axles, and Mr. Ranganathan S, CFO, Automotive Axles Limited. I would now like to turn the call to Mr. Muthukumar for the opening remarks, followed by Q&A. Sir, over to you.
Thank you, Sailesh. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for taking time to join our investor calls, and we really appreciate your interest in our company. We have spoken to you about exactly a year before, on 22nd February of 2022, we have announced Cummins acquired Meritor globally. And also in the month of September, we announced that the integration is complete in the month of August, 3rd of August 2022, and we said the integration process is on. It's almost 180 days from the integration is over, almost 360 days from the date of announcement. The integration process is going very well, and both Jennifer Rumsey, the Cummins President and CEO, and Mr. Kalyani, Chairman of Bharat Forge Limited and also Chairman of Automotive Axles, have found that this coming together is going to work very good for the organization, and this is going to put us in the right trajectory. With the Destination Zero, which is working by Cummins and also Meritor in terms of providing innovative products and solutions to the customer, this is a great coming together which can provide an excellent solution to the customer and thereby grow the organization in India. So as far as India is concerned, the acquisition legal process between Cummins India and Automotive Axles JVs is on the process, and the legal clearances are under the way. It's not yet cleared, so at this point of time, while the global acquisition is done and moving on the processes, in India, the legal process of acquisition is still on the way. Over the next slide. When compared to last year, where we have ended up with 1,494 crores for the full year of FY21-22, the snapshot of Q3, if you see, as on date in this year, we have already crossed last year turnover, and we are at about 1,634 crores. And you can see that the last quarter is still on there, and we'll be able to move. I'm sure that Ranga will share with you subsequently on the growth of EBITDA and growth of PBT, and the management team and also the people have done a remarkable job in terms of ensuring that we give better values to all the shareholders. We continue to work with four manufacturing sites at Mysore, Jamshedpur, Pantnagar, and Hosur, and all sites are in full operation to take care of the customer needs. There's no change in the customers, our equity share between the partners, Meritor Incorporated Global or Cummins Incorporated Global at 35.5%, and Kalyani Group of 35.5%, and the public is 29%. We continue to work with about 2,000+ employees in the company, and our customers include all major CV, specialty, defense OEMs, and of course, exports too. We continue to run with the products of axles, brakes, and to most of your questions, the earlier I said suspensions is another system that we introduced, and we are limping on supplies of suspension and getting into the market. Of course, we continue to be a number one position in axles as an independent axle manufacturer, and we are number two in brakes, but we are consolidating our brakes position. With that introduction, ladies and gentlemen, on our company's the status of the integration and where we are for this quarter, I leave it to Mr. Nagaraj to talk about the sustainability initiatives and also what's happening to the plant and what's going to happen to the customers. Over to you, Mr. Nagaraj.
Thank you, Muthu. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to, you know, interact with you and share with you all the progress that we are making. So our sustainability model, which we have been sharing with you earlier also, I'm going to give you a progress update on that. So our sustainability model has six pillars. As you can see, you know, there's a layer, you know, it starts with the decarbonization. You know, there may be a spelling error there. Apologies for that. And then move to water positivity, positivity, green supply chain, digitalization, social connect, and corporate governance. So we started off this journey in 2017, where we first got 20% of our energy from the renewable sources, solar energy. And then we continue to make more progress in this direction. And as we speak, you know, we are already at about 43%. That is mainly because this particular year, because of a legal requirement, we could not get a hydel power anymore. But as committed to you, by end of next year, 80% of our energy requirement will be coming from renewable sources. We are already water positive, and then we'll be making more progress there. As you can see there, 70% of our water positive goal we have already achieved. We'll be making more progress in that area. So the idea is, or the goal is to, you know, switch over to or become a green manufacturing plant, and work towards starting from sustainability maturity all the way up to excellence in sustainability. Our goal is to achieve this by 2028. Next slide. Next slide, please. So again, giving a little bit more details on the circular economy. As you are aware, we are really focusing on sustainability portion of it. There are several areas where we are taking initiatives. For example, working on reducing the packaging. In fact, I would say that nearly 80% of our shipping is going through either returnable containers or one-time containers. So essentially eliminated use of wood packaging and we'll be completely coming out of it probably in next 2 years. So we continue to, you know, work with the customers and the suppliers, you know, in terms of identifying opportunity for recycling. And then, you know, reduces emission in supply chain. In fact, you know, we already are looking at how we can use LNG vehicles for all the transportation. We continue to focus on employee safety, health, and fair treatment. One of the area, as Muthu mentioned, is, you know, there will be a lot more focus on bringing in diversity in our teams. We have been we are taking lots of steps in terms of, you know, connecting to the social needs, you know, whether it is promoting education or promoting, you know, planting of trees, all those areas we continue to work with partners. Next slide, please. So we are present in a diverse end market. As you can see there, you know, we cater to almost all the major OEs in India and to all the commercial vehicle segments, whether it's a truck, trailer, bus, off-highway or aftermarket. In fact, as Muthu mentioned, we have made some significant inroads into defense area where we are, you know, supplying some of the suspension products. And then also we have been working closely with many of these customers to, you know, increase our product share in the area of especially off-highway and then aftermarket. So with that, I would pass it on to our CFO, Ranganathan.
Thank you, Muthu. Thank you, Nagaraj. It's indeed another pleasure to talk to all the investors. As far as the financial results are concerned, for the last quarter, our revenue was 657 crores for the quarter compared to 376 crores the same quarter last year, and with a year-on-year growth of 75% in terms of value terms. As far as EBITDA is concerned, we ended this quarter with 12% EBITDA for the quarter, and as compared to the 9.7% in the last year. In terms of the percentage, we improved the percentage points by 24% year-on-year basis. As far as the PBT is concerned, we are at 10.3% as compared to 7.1%, 45% up as compared to the last quarter of the same year. For the YTD performance is concerned, we are already more or less crossed the last over revenue, but this about this 9 months revenue is about 1,634 crores compared to 942 crores the 9 months period the same time last year. So more or less around 73% growth is being seen now. EBITDA is about 11.2 for the first 9 months versus 8.1, about 38% growth. PBT is concerned about 9.2, which is 5.1 last year, close to about 80% growth in profit before tax compared to the last year in terms of the percentage terms. When it comes to the next slide, it's just a quick update on how are we progressing in terms of the revenue with the market growth. You can see the volumes, which is in the green, which is basically the market MHCV volumes. Last year, the volumes are roughly close to 300,000 vehicles. This March 2023, for 12 months, we are anticipating the market be around 400,000 vehicles. As far as our revenue is concerned, whole of last year, we did about 1,494, close to 1,500 crores. As compared to the 9 months, actually is about 1,634. We already crossed the last year revenue plus about 170 crores by now. So these 3 months, definitely we are going to show a good progress in year on year, the whole year basis. And as M25, every quarter we are updating it. Our focus is basically the grow revenue, enhance profitability. Definitely, this is one of the key points we have been driving the business. And definitely, Muthu and team have been very consistently working with the customers for the share of business as well as winning the new business. And Nagaraj, definitely on the operational excellence, is working on the delivery and quality and make sure that we're creating value for the customer. Our focus, continue to be there on the overall growth and profitability. Commodities definitely was giving a lot of pressure in 2020-23. Nowadays it's getting softened, and so then you can see the benefit of softening maybe in the coming days. And definitely the Q4, as far as the broader outlook, what we are seeing today is the Q3 will be more or less in the same level, or can be slightly better than the Q3 as far as the revenue is concerned. So broadly, as on the key actions to manage successfully as a growth strategy, as we said about, we had long-term agreement with the customers, and we are focusing on exports, and Muthu and team brought in lot of bringing in a lot of new businesses on exports. We are looking on a long-term strategy as, to see that how we can grow the business. Definitely is on the cards, is one of the frequent questions we are having it. Your company is working on that. So hopefully in the coming days, you can see a better perspective in that business. And definitely another new product launch is always there. A lot of new products this year we already introduced. Maybe one or two is still in the pipeline. We are continuing to work on it. As well, the new axle for the for the e-mobility business is definitely on the cards. A lot of developments is happening. So it's a long-term and a kind of a business or the market need. Nevertheless, as our operations, digitization is very, very important focus area for us in terms of how to bring the Industry 4.0 into the entire end-to-end manufacturing. So we are taking in a phases to implement in the system. Our focus continues to be on improving the profitability to the M25 initiatives, as well as we are definitely working on how to mitigate the commodity pressure which is coming in on year on year on our financials. Safety is very, very important aspect of it. And employee safety, product safety is very, very critical for us. We are continuing to focus on it. With the COVID settled down, largely still some of the key precautions are still continuing about it. As the ESG is one of the key factors coming in, Nagaraj has explained the earlier slide, and net zero and the carbon neutral, that focus is continuously working on. We are putting a specific a strategy around it. So with this, probably I'll leave it to Muthu. We have some kind of appreciation from the customers. He can take us through. Muthu, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Ranganathan. Thank you, Mr. Nagaraj, for giving details of activities. Ladies and gentlemen, I think Nagaraj explained about what is the operational improvement that we are going to do, and as a responsible company and towards our destination zero of carbon emissions, what type of initiatives are being taken up. I think the details have been drawn into the last point to make sure that every process in our company, we work towards sustainability to ensure that the conservation of natural resources is there. And being a company in automobile, where the mobility solutions, we wanted to make sure that we are pioneers in terms of reducing the carbon. Ranga spoke about our strategies of what are the things that we are trying to do to increase our revenue in the top and how we can continue to improve our bottom line, other things, and what type of environmental initiatives or ESG or the plant improvement that we're going through. While as an organization, we've been working, the various clients that we have, like whether Mahindra, Ashok Leyland, Tata Motors, and the global company of Meritor. Last year, we have received 2 awards out of the total 7 awards in global, whereas this year, our team has bagged 3 awards out of the 7 awards that we have. Bharat Benz has given us a quality quad award for sustaining zero, and Nagarajan team has done a remarkable job in terms of managing the customers' quality perceptions and also the fit form functions. These are some of the recognitions, and the team is continuing to work. This motivates the team and continues to keep up the plant in good. With those initial presentations and data, I am taking on to Shailesh back for question and answer sessions. Thank you very much for your listening and looking forward to have interactions with you. Over to you, Shailesh.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. First question is from the line of Ratik Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Congratulations on the strong execution. So my first question is, we have highlighted in the presentation that this year MHCV numbers are expected to be 30-35% higher than earlier. Can we give a broad sense of how would tonnage move if we compare it to last year?
The commercial vehicle market this year is likely to be about 390,000 to 400,000. In terms of tonnage, there is a growth of about 10%, which is happening. In all probability, when we compare to the peak year of 2018, when the commercial vehicle market was at 465, we believe that this 400,000 will be almost about 10% less in terms of tonnage of the vehicle, because most of the vehicles after the BS6 is almost coming to the higher tonnage. So we believe that even though the number of vehicles is there, the axle size has gone up, but the number of axles has not gone up substantially. So that is what I would like to add it at this point of time.
Okay, so what you're saying is we are just 10% below tonnage as compared to the 2018-19 peak which we saw.
Yeah, exactly. We cannot say this is towards the direction.
And I believe tonnage would be a better number to look at rather than the number of units sold, right?
It is. It cannot be because it cannot be directly because the drive axles is what we are talking about. By adding up a dummy axles, the tonnage can go up. So it cannot be a direct measure, but it's a direct measure of the number of tons of goods that is going to be moved in the market at the end of the day. The customer is going to buy this vehicle for moving the goods. So this is from the end customers, yes, what you are saying is right. But when the axle, if you are saying, hey, the number of tonnage wise we achieved, can the number of axles go more? It's not going to go more. But the size of the axles, yes, it's going up.
No, fair point, sure. And the second question, in recent, I think one of the analysts meet Bharat Forge or one of their group companies has presented e-axles as one of the products. This is one of the three products that they're going to use to cater to the EV market. So is this something different than what we are doing, or is this can this be a potential competition to our products? If you can just highlight the thing.
See, in terms of electric axle, there are many more formats that is available today. People are talking about hydrogen fuel cell, electric axles, and so many things are coming, and everybody is trying to play that field. Whether it is the same design of e-axle, there are, even in the e-axle configuration, there are remote mounted configuration that's available with the driveline, without drivelines and all. And because you do not know who is going to be the player, who is going to come in, because there is some organized commercial vehicle manufacturers can come. And like Tesla, how it got into the car market, some other new players also come. Every company is trying to put their bet onto this. So the Meritor is working on a particular strategy of an e-axle to get into the market. Whereas, whether if you ask me whether that's the only way, there are many ways available. So everybody is taking it up, and that is where our innovation is going to keep us challenging. And then we wanted to be in the forefront of it. So I'm not.
If a different company comes in, but when our own parent through a different subsidiary is coming in, that is why this question. If someone else would have done it, I don't think this would have come up.
The market is big. I don't want to get into that. Who is the parent that is coming in? But the market is big, and people will. Rather than we, like whatever you said, that the parent company and we are a child company, I think the question should go into the parent company questions when your child is playing or you're playing.
Last portal, we have said that in all axle and brake manufacturing is only happening in auto axle. The sale and marketing can happen somewhere else, but the manufacturing should happen here.
We never said that. Sorry, I think if I have communicated like that, not right. We are saying that the manufacturing of mechanical axles, what we are producing, because we are not a motor manufacturers. To be honest with you, we don't have a capability on making motors, whereas motors, maybe the other company can acquire the company and make motors, right? I don't know, Ranga, is there anything that we said all the manufacturing of parent company also will happen in our company?
No.
I'm sorry if you have told, but we would love to hear that, and we would try to address this your concerns if it is any.
Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Sagar Parekh from OneUp Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, good afternoon and congratulations on excellent set of numbers. So first question on the defense. So you touched upon defense market in your opening remarks, but I wanted some more details if you can give us some kind of color on in terms of, how big is the defense right now for us, and how potentially, what is the potential for the defense products like defense axles that we would be supplying to different OEMs? So some color on that would be helpful. Thanks.
Yes, we said we are investing a lot on defense business in India because this is going to be a long-term business. As we have indicated at this point of time, we are supplying axles to the defense to the various OEMs, and we are not directly supplying to the military or Indian Army, but we are supplying to OEMs. We are investing a lot on various product platforms for the defense, but the product gestation, when these things are going to come, it's going to be a long drawn process. While we have a practice of not splitting our revenues into the different segments like axles or brakes or customer wise or the vertical wise, I'm sorry, I'm not able to provide you that information. We continue to invest so that tomorrow when the market comes, it's good. I would say that we are at least about 4 platform of our products have been approved for defense, and the vehicle order is going to come, is going to grow.
Yeah, so just putting it another way, so there are no vehicle orders which have come in yet for either of the OEMs through for the platforms that we have been approved as of now. It's just a developmental order that we have been investing in right now.
No, it is not so. We have also sold some axles on this year to them, and we have got an order for about more than 220 sets of a particular thing. See, as and when the order comes, we continue to supply. When Ashok Leyland is going to supply or when the other OEMs are going to supply to the customer is not known. But we have received orders and it is coming into the sales. But continuously, we are also investing time on the new product development and keeping it ready. Because, you know, it depends on many things, on the allocation of the government. While the product is running in the proto, the time that is taken for the product to get into the production is minimum. It takes about 4 to 5 years.
Got it. So this 220 sets of orders we are going to supply in current calendar year?
No, it will not be able to complete before March. It will come now and then it will go to the spillover of next year also. The requirement itself is like that from the defense.
Okay. And this is Ashok Leyland order for us? Like we will be supplying to Ashok Leyland?
I will not be able to tell the customer name, but we have a sets of order is what's available. We are supplying at this point of time to more than 3 to 4 OEMs.
3 to 4 OEMs, okay, got it. Secondly, on this integration with Cummins, now since it's almost been like 6-7 months or at least 5-6 months since integration is complete, could you give some color in terms of what could be the synergies on the revenue side or on the cost side for us between Cummins and Automotive Axle India?
Yeah, at this point of time, the integration process is on in terms of the legal clearances from India. I think we know that we have, Cummins has already given the buyback of shares to the market and that feedback is there, and the other approvals from the various governmental agencies is going on. As an organization, we already communicated, I think our chairman's message was there very clearly that this synergy is going to bring in a lot of areas where we can open up together. There are some areas, certain areas, or certain OEMs where Meritor is present and very, very strong, whereas Cummins penetration will be less. Whereas there are some other areas where Cummins penetration is very high and Meritor is not able to there. So this synergy is definitely going to bring in terms of penetrating to more customers, in terms of penetrating into off-highway customers, or in terms of penetrating into the good technology. Cummins is already in an advanced stages on decarbonization with their technology that's going on. So we'll be definitely working on the various integration between these organization in terms of technology, in terms of people practices, and in terms of bringing the best people policies, in terms of going to the customer. Every sphere of business, we will try to bring in financial management to make sure that the synergy between these two companies is going to give the best for the ultimately to all the stakeholders of the company.
Got it. So no quantification of any line item, basically, either revenues or cost.
At this point of time, as I said, it's a global acquisition that has happened, and India and JV. If you see the, again, it's a global, the Meritor's India share is very less. I don't think we'll be able to provide you a very specific target. But, you know, we have already presented our Mission 25 strategy, and it will continue to go. And maybe by middle of next year, we'll be launching our Mission 28 strategy, which we're already working on, which will definitely have these inputs. And then we will see that what is that we are looking at.
Got it. And my final question would be on the slipper type suspension product. So if you can give some color on that, how's the traction in that? I believe in the last 1 or 2 quarters, we have been seeing some decent traction from Ashok Leyland on the higher tonnage side.
Yeah, good. You're tracking the product well in the market. See, it's like its own challenges. The product challenges in terms of the design, in terms of quality has been resolved. It's working well. But at the end of the day, end of the time, these products give much more value, total cost of ownership to the end customer. But customers have to perceive that this additional value, what they're paying, is going to get them a return on investment. So we are working with various consumers, the end consumers, in terms of convincing them that, hey, whatever the additional that you pay for these new designs is going to give a return on investment to you. and trying hard to penetrate into that. Because of the price difference, the customers is finding it extremely difficult to penetrate more.
Got it.
You have a value for this. Yeah. You have a value for this, but I think the more and more better infrastructure, more and more high-speed vehicles when it is going to come, then it will make sense. Maybe today they may feel that it is not of that benefit today.
Sure. Right, sir. That's it from my side and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Rahil Shah, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Really good numbers there. Just what is the outlook for the next financial year, 24, in terms of the revenues and the margins? How do you expect to gain? Will it continue the momentum? Just wanted your view, and if you're able to give a certain target you're expecting to achieve.
I will answer for the first stage of question, but I'd leave it to Ranga about this. See, the momentum for the organization will continue to be there to penetrate into the share and grow with the market. As you all feel that we are definitely outgrowing the market growth and we'll be definitely better. That is one assurance I can give, but I can't give a very clear numbers on how much of the revenue we are projecting. The latest, the budget that has come is very, very positive. We are seeing the global recession is not going to have any impact in the India business at this point of time, but every OEM is very, very cautious of making a flat or plus minus is what the market is projecting. Already people are predicting about some drop in the cars and of course in the two-wheelers also, whereas commercial vehicle people are looking at about flat or marginal plus minus. So the market is going to be very, very tight with the inflation that has happened. The cost is going to go up. The competitiveness is going to be one of the key for us to see that how we can penetrate. Our competition will not keep quiet. Everybody will continue to work on to see that how we can penetrate. But rest assured that your management team members and your team of employees who works here always works for next level of innovation, next level of improvements in the products to make sure that we are ahead of the curve of the market. In terms of profitability, yes, it's going to be very, very tight. Ranga, you want to add anything, Ranga?
Yes. There are a couple of things I just wanted to say. One is about in terms of the forecast, we'll go with the market. As Patu was talking about it, we always try to grow better than the market in terms of volumes. And I know our Mission 25 objective is about optimize the margins. We'll definitely continuously do that through operational excellence. So that focus will always be there. So we are constrained rather to share the specific numbers of the forecast for 2024. So definitely we can take the market forecast for the next financial year. And definitely we'll be at par, ideally better than that. So definitely our aspiration is always be there and our efforts are going in that direction. That is one aspect of it. And as far as the margins are concerned, yes, all our efforts are there in terms of cost optimization, operational excellence. And definitely to the market volumes, we'll definitely produce the good numbers that we have been demonstrating in the last 4 or 5 years. As we are also working on various strategies on growing the business. Definitely, as an investor, you can see those benefits in the coming quarters.
Okay, sir. That all sounds really confident from your side. So, thank you for the detailed answer and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Naveen from Mahindra Manulife. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just following up on the previous discussion, this quarter, our outperformance in terms of top line versus the market and even some of our key customers seems to be quite impressive. Just wanted to kind of delve deeper to understand, is it a kind of increase in share of business with some customers or is it led by content increase? Any color on that?
See, it's a very, very nice question and you hit us on this. I'll tell you, while I'll not be able to quantify, without share of increase, share of business increase, we could not have achieved more than the market growth. You are right. As I indicated earlier, with the tonnage of the vehicle goes up, we have also increased our content per vehicle or content per axle, which has gone up on cost. Third is also some of our customers have expanded their market share. So when the customer expands the market share, yes, we do expand the market share indirectly.
Go ahead, sir.
This helped us to do this.
Okay, so the point being that it should largely, if the product mix at the industry level and for our customers remain similar, this is the kind of, you know, the share of business should kind of sustain at what we are, what we've seen in 3Q.
We will continue the first and second, what I said, the content increase and our share of business increase with the customer will continue to be there. We work very, very closely with the customer. The customer's marketing to see that what type of product we need to supply to them for penetrating them into the customer. We continue to do that. Their penetration to the customer and expanding, we can't, it's not in our hand, but we'll continue to work with them on to do that. But our company's interest in penetrating into the customer share and increasing the content will continue to be there.
Understood.
We can't commit on behalf of them.
Sure, thanks. Just another question on margins. If I understood right, you know, some of the commodity cost reduction benefits are yet to flow in going forward. Is my understanding right there?
I just wanted to clarify, we have a very good system of when customer commodity prices going up and comes down, how do we do the settlement? Other than the base impact, it's not going to have much of impact onto the P&L.
Okay. And just one last one, sir. In the presentation, you mentioned that 4Q should broadly be similar to the third quarter. Seasonally, as we understand, you know, fourth quarter tends to be a little more higher as compared to third quarter, even in terms of production volumes. So I'm just trying to understand, is it based on, you know, what you're seeing in terms of customer schedules or any other factors?
See, this year, the last quarter has seen a substantial increase when compared to the traditional. Normally, we see the Q3 will be less and then Q4 is going up. We have seen a very strong Q3. So with the production of the OEMs and the sales, what is the registration has happened, we believe that it is going to be flat in this quarter. This is our belief. But the company will be ready. If the OEMs are going to increase the production, we'll be able to deliver more.
Got it. And just one last one, sir. What would be our current capacity utilizations across, let's say, axles and brakes?
Ranga, you want to answer?
Yeah, see, we see more or less about around roughly, generally, you know, with the installed capacity, we are not as not touched the peak as last time when we have increased the capacity of 2018-19 volume. We have created the capacity to meet the 2018-19, because at that point of time we are running short of the capacity. Today the market is 400,000 vehicles. You can see that, you know, we are 20% lower than the market. So you can measure the capacity utilization, but definitely the small variations in the capacity, we are still able to accommodate it.
Okay. And any CapEx numbers that we would have firmed up for FY24?
No, it's too early to commit because we do always the capital commitments on sustenance and for, on digitization, that is be there in the plan. But any kind of big capex work, what we invested in 18-19, that goes with the business case. As we go along, we get new businesses that probably need an investment. Definitely, we will do that. But at this moment of time, nothing big is not seen in the near future. But definitely, we are in the close watch on the business plans, and we'll decide accordingly.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, and best wishes for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Aditya Velekar from Access Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Congrats for the good set of numbers. So in the last conference, you said you will see 15% growth in MHCV production volumes in FY24. So given the strong quarter, what's the outlook for FY24 MHCV production volumes? Do you see any upside to that number?
I don't see further upside from this number. Originally, we forecasted during the last quarter. We didn't anticipate this strong third and fourth quarter. But if you see the current third quarter increase that has happened, the current year FY23 projection itself is going to be about 10,000 vehicles more than this. That is why we said the 15% what we have projected, it will become like a flat or plus minus. The main concerns today in the market is the increase in interest rates and people want to conserve cash with the global recession on the cards. But the finance minister's budget has very clearly come out that India is on very, very strong capital growth. So the sentiment should be positive, but at this point of time, we are looking at a flat or plus single digit growth.
Okay, understood. Thanks. Second question is on if we see at the personal cost as a percentage of sales in this quarter, those have come down. So what it means is that our from with the same amount of employees, we are generating higher revenue. So can we expect that the personal cost will remain in the same range going forward?
Sustaining this in the long term is very, very difficult, but on the short term, we are trying to do this. As I indicated, it is the company is working on continuously doing improving efficiency. But if you ask what we can stretch it in this quarter, whether we can do every quarter, it will be a little difficult. The organization is working on not reducing the people, but improving the processes and enable people to perform better. I think that's our objective of working. So we'll continue to focus on these areas and improve, but whether this is a sustainable model, this much of sales is going to come and this, it's going to be a $1 million question. Because it's market driven.
Okay. And last one, recently we have seen some inch up in commodity with this China opening, steel prices have rallied. So what I understood from your previous conversation is that on a gross margin basis, you are not much worried because it depends on a 100% pass-through basis. So there might be some lag in pass-through of the steel prices, but on a net basis, the commodity volatility will not affect the business much. Is that understanding right?
In general, yes, what you are saying is right, and you have exactly caught it that there's a lag between this. But, you know, customers are very, very tough, and then everybody wants to make sure that how during this time they also wanted to make it better because every OEM is also struggling to make their bottom line. So good amount of pushback, push through is going on at this point of time. But you should also understand that whatever the inventory that we have is at a higher rate, higher price when the market goes down, that also has an impact to our overall the business. So managing all those things is the management responsibility, and I'm sure that my team, Edgar Nagaraj, is managing this very well.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Grid Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. Great performance. Congratulations to the team. A couple of questions from my side. First being, as you mentioned about the higher share of business from the customer. So was it more on the domestic side, or there was also influence of exports into it for the third quarter? Second question will be on the EXLs. So just want to understand or get some clarification. So the EXL which will be sold by Meritor in India, will it be passing through our company, or how would that be? These are my first two questions.
Okay, I will answer your first question on the growth of share of business. We have grown in domestic, we have grown in exports, even though we don't declare the numbers, because there was a market, even the US market on Class 8 is going very, very strong at this point of time. Even though people talked about the downturn that's coming up in the US, we are seeing a very good numbers in the next couple of quarters at this point of time.
Okay.
So our growth has happened across all the segments, exports, domestic.
Okay. Okay.
When I said our OEMs, when I said that the customers also expanded, our customers OEMs have also expanded the market, which indirectly helped us to penetrate into more axles. These are the two things.
Okay.
Coming back into
more to Meritor subsidiary globally,
Yes. 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 That's why I said exports also have grown. When we have grown from 500 to the growth has happened 25% or something. Everywhere it has grown. Most of the segments. Most of the verticals, axles, brakes, exports, everything.
Okay.
On to your question of second point on e-axle. The e-axle, we should understand it's in a different the perspective of that. The current automotive axles has the capability of making mechanical axles, and the e-axle is not going to be completely different. The e-axle constitutes of electrical, electronics, and the mechanical portion of it. Okay. At this point, we will continue to enhance the maximum utilization of our mechanical axle component from here. We are looking at the strategy of where to get the electrical electronics and where to do that at this point of time. You know, Meritor has globally acquired Siemens commercial vehicle business, which is making motors in Europe. And, you know, Cummins in India has an extensive capability on electronics and in terms of making the electrical component from there. So we are evaluating where to make this because the current unit of the JV doesn't have that capability for making motors and electronics. So while the mechanical portion of this will continue to be with this, we are evaluating on the production and manufacturing strategy. But just wanted to tell you about all of you, the current prediction of M&SCV industry is by 2032, the M&SCV segment will be even about 10% on electrification. That is what the prediction that is given by the biggest research agencies. So it's a long way process. So we continue to invest on our innovation. We continue to focus on product development or mechanical axles because we cannot drop this and then move on to that info.
Yeah, exactly. Because as Ashok Leland has received, the Switch Mobility has received a massive order for supplying to, you know, the state transport authority. So now the buses. So there, how will we play? So are we there? Are we supplying to those units which are?
We are a strategic partner and we supply to them. But that's not an e-axle, just for your information.
It will be some other. Okay.
That's an electric axle. That is an electric vehicle, but not using e-axles.
Got it.
And we are present there in our mechanical axle.
So there, still the mechanical axles are only being used there. In those.
I'm sorry, I just said in general, we are present.
Okay.
That's a combination of some innovation, but it is running like that.
Okay. Yeah, got it, sir. Thank you. And lastly, sir, when you said about defense, if I heard it correctly, you said you're supplying to more than 4 OEMs, right?
Yeah, see, in defense, the OEM is... there are many players other than the traditional OEMs, right? There are new players who are also supplying to anybody whom supplying to vehicles to defense army. I call them as OEMs, L&T suppliers. So many people are supplying.
Okay. So would you be comfortable sharing the revenue contribution from defense?
I love to do that, but at this point of time, normally we don't share vertical wise revenues. Including exports or axles or brakes. So I'm very sorry that I'm not in a position to share that.
All right, sir. Great. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Krishna Kumar from Lion Hill Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. So congratulations, sir, on a set of very good numbers. You know, most of the questions have been answered in the previous rounds. So just on, you know, while you said you would not give breakups in terms of verticals, but if you could give some perspective in terms of whether, you know, exports grew faster than domestic or vice versa, or if you could just give some growth rates on segments and also breaks, is that possible? Talk about growth rates at least, relatively.
Ranga? Show your smartness.
No. See, I just wanted to bring a perspective to you. Probably, you know, if you really see the axles, brakes, we are present with almost with all OEMs, you know. And axles, I think in the earlier calls also, we said we predominantly present with one or two OEMs, and of course TML, we are very, very bigger element to the whole process, so whole share is concerned. So see, the growth definitely, you know, as TML grows, our bricks definitely grow, and there's no doubt about that. As you rightly say, that the overall market grows, if our axle growth is directly dimensional to the growth of Ashok Leyland and other OEMs. So in terms of percentage, we already mentioned it, the market grows, Muthu was saying that it could be around single digit or maximum about 10% the market growth. Our growth in line with the market. So within the segment, if really see, brakes can go better than the axles because of, the TML growth in the market share goes up, definitely the brakes share in the business will definitely go up. But overall, if you really look at the revenue growth, is largely the revenue per axle comes from the axle is better than the brakes. Nevertheless, our aspiration to grow the top line, bottom line continues. So in terms of the percentage, the growth will be at the market rate or slightly better than the market. The market grows 10, we try to aspire to grow by 12 or 13%. That definitely be our kind of an outlook. So that much I can say. The exports you've been talking about, as we said, we don't want to give a breakdown about the segment-wise. I think as it overall export is concerned, predominantly we are doing it for our own group companies, as definitely the group companies is looking at India as one of the destination for using India's capability and capacity for the global growth. This is already on the cards. But it's very premature at this moment of time to show that how much is going to materialize. We are seriously, Muthu and team is seriously working on it. And the coming days, you will definitely see, we are expecting a kind of an improvement in the exports business share and the overall share is concerned. That much I can share at this moment of time.
Sure. So very helpful, sir. Thank you for that. Sir, on the e-axles question earlier, you had mentioned that there's no answer at this point in time, but just to get a directional perspective, the project would be definitely involve somewhat of heavy capex. If the motor and the electronics, etc., is made within automotive axle. So is it right to believe that there could be a company outside in the group which could probably be the integrator, and we would continue to make the mechanical axle to supply? Is that something directionally possible, that way?
I'm not sure at this point of time. It all depends on what is the adoption level of EV and how it is going to come up and what type of technology is going to come in. For example, today, 80% of the vehicle that is made in India on electric vehicle platform, which you are being sold in FAME 1 and FAME 2, doesn't use e-axle. Because when the range is going to be 80 kilometers to 120 kilometers, like a city buses, they find out that the different method of doing it is also going to work as long as it's in electrification. They don't need that much of battery space. A lot of changes is happening. So, it needs a huge capex at this point of time. While we are continuously working on technology or sourcing it from the right partners at this point of time, the manufacturing strategy is being worked out. But one thing that I can assure you is, while it's very, very premature to talk at this point of time, the mechanical axle portion of it, because we have a reliability and capability here, we'll definitely go with, we'll be making it here. Rest of the thing, what type of aggregator we use, where are we going to assemble and all, it's too premature to say, because it all depends on the technology that is going to come in and where it is going to come from.
Yes, sir. Great, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Radha. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on excellent performance. So my first question is on the exports. So as per our last annual report, you can understand that exports should be around 4 to 5% of revenue. And given that you mentioned that you are aggressively pursuing exports, so could you tell me would it be in the in a low double digit number, the exports as of now, out of total revenue?
Ranga?
No, madam, I think we have already shared the perspective. As, we generally don't segregate, segment-wise revenue numbers, or we don't give it. Kindly pardon us. But definitely as a focus,
we are working with the opportunities for exports, and definitely that is will play a kind of one of the growth strategies for us. So sorry that we can't share the segment wise numbers or the growth aspiration segment wise at this moment of time. Sorry about it.
Okay, sir. Just following up on this, have we, other than Volvo, have we added any new customer in exports? And if we have, then who would that be?
See, at this point of time, Volvo is a customer, currently it is Isuzu, just for information, because the UD trucks of Volvo has been acquired by Isuzu and we are supplying to them to the Thailand facility. Rest of the areas, we supply only subsystems and systems to our Meritor company, and they do the end assembly. We don't directly deal with any other customers.
Understood, sir. So secondly, on the axles part, so previously, as I understand, we had low single digit medium single digit share of business with Tata Motors. And given that we have been pursuing Tata Motors in the axle space, so can I assume that the share of business with them has gone up to double digits now?
No. Our supplies to Tata Motors is almost very, very low single digit, only for critical axles, which is going for some exports. Currently, they have built up a lot of capacity inside their plant and they are using their capacities only.
Understood, sir. And sir, in the off-highway segment, so what are the top OEMs that we are targeting? I understand JCB and BEML are captive, but are we still pursuing them? And if not them, are we pursuing any other OEMs?
We will not leave anybody, because till we finalize it, we are talking to SANY, with L&T. So there are only 5-6 players and it's a different type of segment, right? And we'll be working with everybody, but at this point of time, most of them is integrated. They are manufacturing inside the manufacturing. It's very tough to crack it. And it's also a huge cost in terms of design of making this product, because the volumes is very, very low. So we are evaluating, but it is our focus area for growth, for sure. The management has put in a lot of efforts to grow in that segment, construction and off-highway.
Okay, sir. And so we recently entered into the LCV, ICV bus segment. So with respect to this, how many products we have in this, and how many more launches are expected in this segment particularly? And currently, from the LCV, ICV bus, are we supplying only to Ashok Leyland or anyone else as well?
Predominantly, we supply to Ashok Leyland. It doesn't mean that we are not supplying to anybody else. Some of the Mahindra's ICV also we are present, and other OEMs we are working. It is mainly used for the ICV trucks and also some buses. Both are available. The school bus.
So how much potential business can we see from this particular segment in the next 2 to 3 years?
See, the ICV segment is growing, and even though our Meritor presence is very, very strong in medium and heavy commercial vehicle and not on this, we continue to penetrate on this and definitely will be growing. But if you see that the volume for total is very, very less, your company is working on improving the penetration into that segment, which is very, very highly a competitive segment.
Okay, sir. And so in the suspension segment, in the slipper type suspension product that we have, so previously we had VRL Logistics as one customer. So other than that, have we seen any other players who have upgraded the suspension from bell crank to slipper type?
See, VRL is not our customer. He's an end customer, but their supplies were going through Ashok Leyland. Okay? And we don't sell suspension directly to the end customer. We sell it only to Ashok Leyland, and Ashok Leyland sells it. As I explained to you earlier, while we try to put it into 5 or 6 different customers, it is extremely challenging in terms of managing the cost of the old bell crank suspension to this. So we deal with customers, but penetrating into this needs a lot of mindset, a lot of infrastructure improvement in the roads and high-speed vehicles to come, that it makes sense for them to use this suspension.
And this is just one last question from my side. So from the overall portfolio, I believe we can sell some axle subsystems and brake assemblies in the aftermarket segment. So, and given that majority of our sales is to OEM as of now, do we have any strategy to increase our sales in the aftermarket segment?
We are selling in the aftermarket, and we are selling through OEs and also to the dealers by our network.
Understood, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir, for answering all my questions patiently. All the best.
I want to keep you up on timing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question.
But it's already time out, so maybe...
Sir, we don't have anyone in the queue. Would you like to give any closing comments?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your interest shown, and thanks for your appreciation of our performance. You can rest assured that the team is committed to continue to innovate. The team is continue to innovate, invest in the new technology that is going to come, and of course, giving the best returns to all the stakeholders in the business. So we'll continue to do the business in a transparent way and communicate to you about what we are doing, how we are performing, and looking forward to your continuous support to your organization to make us to grow better in the days to come. Thank you very much to B&K for organizing this call with the team, and really appreciate everyone's support and time. Thanks, Ranga and Nagaraj, for joining and then giving your perspective. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Vatliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.